God made man, and he looked and he said, it's not good for the man to be alone, and he gave him a helper, right? So here I am. He's lost his voice, right? So I'm his helper this morning.
Amen.
Okay, today's reading is from Judges chapter 13. So if you've got the Bible app, or if you're old-fashioned and you've got an actual Bible, you can open to Judges chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 1 to 5. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them from the hand into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah, named Manah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son, whose hair is never to be shaved or touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will be a leader, and he will begin delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then if you can skip to verse 24. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. Now many of you would know the story of Samson. But what we know about Samson mainly is his last days and his extraordinary strength that he had. But the Bible takes us through quite a lot of his life, and in this particular passage, it talks about his birth. Now, Samson had a very special birth. His birth was announced by the angel of the Lord. Not only he had a very special birth, but he was given a very special purpose by God. Samson was born to lead and deliver his people from the oppression of the Philistines. That means deliver them from the negative influence of their moral values, their idol worship, and the violence. Also, Samson was to be a role model. Because he was supposed to be a leader, as a leader, he was supposed to be a role model. Not just that, but he was supposed to be a Nazarite. And later on, we'll hear a little bit more of who the Nazarites were. He was gifted with this absolutely extraordinary strength, and we see that as he started to grow up, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. What a joy would that have been for a Christian parent. For us as Christians, the ones that have children, seeing our children loving God and moving into his purpose and moving, like being moved by his Spirit, and just the Spirit working through our children is the most amazing thing. So his parents would have been so filled with joy seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy that the angel of the Lord gave them, that word, that promise that the angel of the Lord gave them.
So just to say a few things about a Nazarite, because it said Samson was a Nazarite. Who knows what a Nazarite is or what a Nazarite means? Have you heard the word Nazarite before? Well, a Nazarite, some people choose to be Nazarites, and some people, when they're born, they're dedicated to God as Nazarites. A Nazarite is someone who's completely dedicated to the Lord. And so there are things that they're not allowed to do. For example, they're not allowed to drink any alcohol at all. They're not even allowed to eat grapes or raisins, just in case. They're not allowed to touch anything unclean, because it's a sign of their holiness and their purity. Nothing unclean, no dead bodies, pigs, anything at all. And they're not allowed to cut their hair. They have to leave their hair to grow, And the length of the hair is a sign of the length of time that you vowed and dedicated yourself to the Lord. It's a sign that you have said that you're going to be holy unto the Lord. I'll give you an example of some Nazarites. You had Samuel. When Hannah gave birth to Samuel, he dedicated her to the Lord. And the Bible says he never cut his hair. And so he was a Nazarite. And we think people like John the Baptist, Elijah, were also Nazarites, because it said about John the Baptist, no alcohol should touch his lips. And so those are, and we give you these examples of people who, when they say Samson was a Nazarite, he's meant to be among people, stand side to side with people like Elijah, Samuel, John the Baptist.
Okay, now from just reading from Judges chapter 14, again from verse 1. Samson went out to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." His father and mother replied, Isn't there an acceptable woman amongst your relatives or amongst all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She is the right one for me." Now at this point, Samson had become a young man, a young adult, and naturally he wanted to have a girlfriend, right? He wanted to have a girlfriend, he wanted to get married, he wanted to start his own family. The problem here wasn't that he wanted to get a wife. The problem here was his choice. He chose a woman that was not one of God's people. Now, believe me, I have nothing against marrying a foreign person, right?
Praise God.
But the problem comes when we step outside of God and outside of God's family to look for a partner. Now, he chose a Philistine girl, and this presented three kind of problems for him. Firstly, she did not believe in God. She was influenced by the Philistine culture, by the oppression, and by the adultery. She had lower moral values, which was normal for the Philistine culture. These were not God's values. She followed the culture that she was born into. And the third problem that he had is that his parents disapproved. Okay? So his parents stood against him and they said, Why are you choosing a wife outside of God's people? Now, Samson was supposed to be a leader. He was one of the judges of the Israelites. Not only this, he was a Nazarite. So the expectation on him was great to lead this almost righteous life, if you want to say. But he diverted from all of that and he went to look for a woman outside of God's people. I can only imagine the arguments, the disputes, the friction that caused between him and his parents. But eventually, they gave in. And what we hear next in the story is about his marriage to this, or the wedding.
That's right. And so, I know for some of our young people, a time's going to come when you're going to want to have a boyfriend, right? And you're going to have a girlfriend. I mean, it's true. Let's just be real for a second. And your parents are going to say some stuff about that. Am I right, parents?
Yes!
Do you know what I mean? They're going to want to say something about that, okay? And here's the gist. Your parents have awareness of relationships and how relationships work, okay? And so they've been there, they've seen it, they have the experience. So when Samson's parents are trying to tell him, "I know she's beautiful, I know she's smart, but when it comes to her values and her belief in God, that's going to cause you problems. you've got a different purpose, you're from a different place, it's going to cause you problems. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to hear the argument between Samson and his parents, between his mum and Samson, and getting the dad involved. Come and talk to your son. Samson didn't listen. Samson married the lady, and it all went downhill from there. You know, at his wedding feast, he got 30 of his friends. They're all Philistines. They came to the wedding. And he posed a riddle. Samson loved riddles. So he gave them a riddle. Said, if you can solve this riddle, I'll pay you guys. I'll give you guys all this stuff. He said, but if you can't solve the riddle, you guys will have to pay me. The wedding feast was going on for 7 days. 7 days. And they couldn't do it. So they went to his wife. And they said, you've got to tell Samson to tell us this thing. And they manipulated her into manipulating Samson. And Samson told his wife, trusted her. She then tells the Philistines, and they come and say to him, wow, we know the answer to your riddle. But he was very hurt because he said, yeah, you went to my wife, and you manipulated her into manipulating me. So his friends betrayed his trust on his wedding. His wife betrays his trust at his wedding. Samson gets really angry. He goes up and beats up a whole load of Philistines, because that's what Samson does, right? And brings the bounty for his friends, right? Here you go. And he was so angry that he just stormed off. He went home. A couple of days later, he's like, I did a bad thing, storming off, leaving my wife there. He brought a present, came back, and what had happened? His best man had married his wife. Best friends, right? Friends, the friends that you pick. Different values. He went to her dad and went, what the? You let my wife marry my best man. She said, well, you went home. But moral values, a marriage is a marriage. But they're Philistines, right? And that's all okay. Samson got vexed, and you know what he did next? He went and beat up a whole load of people, burnt down a load of their field. The friends that he chose, they were all Philistine friends. And it's important, the friends that you have, if they don't share the same moral values that you do, just be aware that the way they act might surprise you. And for them, that's normal. But when you look at it from God's perspective, even if Samson got angry, left his wife, they were already married at that point. You don't just say, hey, I'll marry your best mate. So that's why it's important when your parents are trying to say to you, the people you're hanging around with, you know, the guys that you're looking at, the ladies you're looking at, if they don't share the same moral values as you, it can cause a lot of contention. Our time's gone, so we're going to have to fly through the next 2 points.
After his really bad experience with his wife, let me tell you that actually his wife and her father got killed by the Philistines because Samson went and did a whole lot of damage to the Philistines. And when they asked who did that and found out it was him, they went and killed her and he killed her father. So Samson got very depressed. He once lived in the mountain. Then after that, there was an episode of great violence, etc. Then the next thing that happened was we see that Samson just started going rapidly just downhill. His life just went downhill. He did not learn his lesson about the wrong influence and just choosing the wrong friends and the wrong people around him. Instead of pursuing the purpose of God, Samson then started pursuing his own pleasures. He dedicated to pleasing himself and living for his own pleasures instead of living for God. And we read that Samson then started sneaking into the Philistine towns. He had an eye for the ladies. He started spending the nights with different ladies. And once again, he did not look amongst his own people, amongst the people of God, to find a wife, to find a woman that was suitable for him. He went and he started pursuing women that were outside of God's family. So that's how, in this context, he met a young woman, a Philistine woman called Delilah.
Down the house. house. Based on Joshua chapter 11, verse 23, Judges chapter 1, verses 6 through 14, chapter 13, verse 7, and chapters 15 through 16.
After Jericho, the people of Israel conquer all of Canaan. Joshua dies, and for a long time, his leaders follow God. They build up strong cities and choose judges to rule over them. Many years later, the Philistines invade Israel. Samson defeats the Philistines. He serves as a leader and protector of Israel for 20 years. One evening, Samson visits the Philistine city of Gaza.
What is your business in Gaza?
I have come to see a friend.
I just saw Samson entering a house down the street. How did he get in?
Samson? I didn't recognize him.
Never mind. Close the gate and we'll trap him in the city. Call out all the guards. Samson will never leave Gaza alive.
The Philistines call out all the guards and lie in wait for Samson.
I've never seen Samson. What is he like?
Oh, he's like anyone else. If you don't count the fact that he has hair like thick vines and the strength of 100 men.
At midnight, Samson walks down the street and toward the gate.
Lots of guards on duty tonight. They're probably not here to help me through the gate. So,
I'll help myself!
Stop him! Don't let him get away! Who can stop a man strong enough to carry the city gate? I tell you, his strength is not human!
News of Samson's escape from Gaza spreads through the country. Rulers of Philistine cities are worried and call a meeting.
Samson must be captured. Let's put all our armies together.
I'm not risking my army on Samson. We've got to find another way.
I have an idea. We know Samson has more than mortal strength, if we can learn the source of that strength.
Do you think he's going to tell us what it is?
No, but he'll tell the right person. I hear he's in love with Delilah.
Delilah, she's a Philistine.
Right, she'll get Samson to tell her his secret. Then she'll tell us.
Will she? What if she's in love with Samson?
She's also in love with money. Come on, let's go see her.
So the Philistine rulers visit Delilah.
If you find out Samson's secret for us, we'll give you 1,100 pieces of silver each.
Payable when you deliver Samson into our hands.
For 5,500 pieces of silver, Delilah is willing to pretend she loves Samson.
You're so strong, Samson. Is there anything that can't hold you?
If I were tied with 7 new leather straps, I'd be no stronger than any other man.
On Samson's next visit, he falls asleep. Delilah ties him up with 7 new leather straps.
This will hold him. Now, how shall I spend the reward money?
Samson, wake up! The Philistines are here!
Samson tricked me.
Why did you tie me up?
I wanted to see if you were telling me the truth.
Delilah keeps trying to learn the secret of Samson's strength. She binds him in different ways, but each time he breaks free. At last.
You don't love me. If you did, you would tell me your true weakness.
Don't cry. I'll tell you my secret. When I was dedicated to God, a promise was made never to cut my hair. If I break that promise, God will take away my strength. I'll be as weak as any other man.
At last, Delilah has the real secret. She calls the Philistines, and they plan to trap Samson that night.
Have your chains ready, and bring the money you promised me.
That evening, Samson calls on Delilah. When he falls asleep...
Now's your chance.
I've never seen such long hair. But I still don't see how this will take his strength away.
Samson, wake up! The Philistines are here!
Samson wakes up, ready to defend himself, but...
My hair! It's gone! I have broken my promise, and now God has taken away my strength.
You broke the leather straps, but let's see if you can break our chains now.
Samson's strength is gone. Chained and under heavy guard, he is taken away.
What will they do to him?
Put out his eyes and throw him into prison. Our troubles with Samson are over.
Here's your money, Delilah. You've earned it.
5,500 pieces of silver, all mine.
While Delilah counts her money, Samson is led through the streets of Gaza, a captive in chains.
Ha! The mighty judge of Israel is a weakling now!
The Philistines carry out their threat to blind Samson. Then they chain him to a grindstone and make him grind grain in the prison at Gaza. But, untouched by his captors, his hair begins to grow.
Oh God, give me one more chance to free my people from the slavery of the Philistines.
Outside the prison walls, the Philistines prepare for a great festival to Dagon, their god.
Bring your gifts to Dagon, who delivered Samson into our hands.
During the feast...
What can we do to please the crowd?
I have it. Bring Samson out and let the people have their fun with him.
So Samson is brought out of the prison and led up the temple steps.
Bring him up here so everyone can see what the mighty judge of Israel looks like now.
Show us how you carried off the gates of Gaza.
Let's see you tear apart a lion with your bare hands now.
Now that Samson's hair has grown back, he hopes that God will restore his strength.
Where are the pillars? I want to lean against them.
Here, I'll put your hands on them.
Run, boy, and don't stop until you're outside the temple. Oh God, you blessed me with great strength once. I ignored your commands and lost your blessing. I deserve to die. But just let me take some Philistines with me!
Using all the strength God gives him again, Samson pushes against the pillars. The giant temple to the heathen god Dagon crashes to the ground. Crushed beneath it are thousands of Philistines who had made slaves of Samson's people. Samson had great strength, but a weak character. Yet God used him to help Israel anyway.
Amen. We're going to have to wrap up for the sake of time, because we're going to come to a time of communion. And I just want to say this very shortly. And the 3 points that we had here was, don't be like Samson. Don't be like Samson. Samson had purpose. You've got purpose. Samson forgot that he had a purpose. He forgot that he was called to be a leader. He forgot that he was called to be a deliverer. He forgot that he was the one that was supposed to be influencing people. God called him to set people free from a culture and from an influence that would bind them. Instead, Samson got bound by the culture and the influence that he was supposed to free people from. Samson was supposed to show people the truth of God's way, the truth of what it's like to live holy, the truth of what it's like to be dedicated. But Samson ended up being blinded to God's truth because he wanted to live for himself. Samson had people all around him giving him godly advice. He had parents who wanted to do the best for him, who loved him, who wanted him to love God and do right. Samson wouldn't listen to his parents. He wanted to hang out with his friends more. And eventually, Samson got arrested. He got put in prison because he didn't keep the law of God and he didn't keep the law of the land. And so today, as we come to communion, I just want you, especially the young people, but not just the young people, even the older ones, because there are times in life when, like Samson, we find ourselves at the end of wrong decisions. We find ourselves in places where consequences of our own actions have caught up with us. We find ourselves in places where we should have taken that advice. The beautiful thing about the story of Samson is also a story of redemption, that his hair grew back, that anointing came back, the Spirit of God did come upon him. So for the young people, who are at the beginning of that journey, learn from Samson's mistakes. Think very carefully about your friends. Listen to your parents. They want the best for you. But for others that might be facing consequences of bad actions, God still restores, God still redeems, his anointing and his spirit will still be upon you. So as we come to a time of communion, remember that. As you bring yourself before the Lord, pray that he keeps you, pursue his purpose, pray that he redeems you, okay? And that he puts right all that might be wrong because of the choices that we made. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask the service.